Hi, this is Paul Pachter, President and CEO of Long Island Cares and the Harry Chapin Regional Food Bank, welcoming you back to another episode on our Breaking Bread podcast. This morning, my guest in studio is someone who's been here before, but we always want to make sure that we have her back as often as possible, and that is Catherine Fritz, our Vice President for Development and Communications at Long Island Cares. Catherine, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Paul. I'm glad to be back.
the audience, they're wonderful. So, Catherine, fundraising, development in a climate where people are dealing with the high cost of products and goods and food and everything else, how challenging is it right now here in 2023 to raise money for an organization such as Long Island Cares?
It is challenging. One of the things we really have to focus on is why the donors come to Long Island Cares in particular, mm-hmm. and what is it about our mission and what we do for the community speaks to our donors. So that's what we really try to focus on. We understand that people may be strapped, that their own mm-hmm. budgets might be tighter than they were a year ago or certainly pre-pandemic, but we really need to focus on how they can help and what they really want to do.
And, you know, you said something very important, as you usually do. Within the first 10 seconds, there's something that makes me think, why, in your estimate, as our VP for Development and Communications, why are people donating to us? What is it that encourages them, that strikes a chord, other than, as we've known for 43 years, the legacy of our founder, Harry Chapin? But why are people supporting Long Island Cares?
I think one of the reasons is since the pandemic, the issue of food insecurity has become more top of mind for people across the world, really, but mm-hmm. certainly here on Long Island. As food insecurity and hunger gained a national spotlight during the pandemic, when people saw lines of cars around food pantries, when they went to the stores and went to purchase their own groceries mm-hmm. and found supplies short, when they couldn't purchase more than one package of chicken, they started to be a little afraid. Sure. And people who may have never experienced food insecurity in their entire lives were suddenly questioning if they were going to be able to put a meal on the table for their family.
Right.
So I think as we've passed the pandemic and some of those shortages have alleviated a bit, we no longer have a limit on how many packages of chicken mm-hmm. we purchased or how easy it is to get toilet paper.
Right.
It's still something that resonates with people. They understand that at any point we could shut down again and they mm-hmm. could be in that same position. So I think for those people certainly who experienced it for the first time, experienced the fear, the stress, the uncertainty of where that food was going to come from, that strikes a chord with them. And I think when we talk about how a donor's dollars are used, mm-hmm. whether it's through news media or our newsletters, or we post on social media a story or a video about someone that's been served or how we help people on Long Island, it strikes a chord. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to feel that fear. So a donor is going to help someone else.
Yeah, well, you know, it's that's absolutely true. Talk a little bit about the importance of the messaging that we send out under your department and your leadership that keeps people engaged in our work. Because you've had a tremendous track record of not only cultivating new donors, but keeping our donors informed, keeping them interested, communicating with them through your staff and yourself about how their donations are making a difference in the lives of people we serve. So talk a little bit about messaging and why it's so critical.
I think it's important that donors understand not only how their dollars are being used, but how it affects people. So when we're looking for messaging to share with our donors, to share with our constituents, we're really looking for stories that are impactful, that show different kinds of people that mm-hmm. are affected with hunger and food insecurity, that shows companies, business owners, individuals, single moms, dads, veterans. We want to make sure that we're really showing the entire scope of the people that are served here on Long Island. we're such a diverse island and we serve so many different kinds of people that that messaging is important to share with our donors. I think even when I first came on board, I've been here for 4 years now, mm-hmm. but I think I had a certain vision mm-hmm. of the kinds of people that Long Island Cares served through yep. our member agencies, through our food pantries. And that was wrong, you know, for that was completely wrong, actually. So for me, it goes back to what I learned when mm-hmm. I first came to Long Island about the people that we serve, and certainly the people that we saw during the pandemic, who so many of them said, I've never thought I'd have to use a food pantry. Right. I never considered being hungry. Mm-hmm. So that messaging is important. So we really do try to focus on stories that show different kinds of people, and that also show sort of that full circle. We don't want to just show people coming to the food pantries for weeks and months, perhaps even years. We want to show people that came to the food pantry and not only utilized our services for getting food, but mm-hmm. also utilized some of our program services. And maybe they did something with Long Island Cares that helped lift them out of that cycle of food mm-hmm. insecurity, whether it changed their job opportunities or changed their housing or helped them in another way and got them out of that cycle mm-hmm. of having to visit the food pantries. For a donor to be able to see, not only did they get food from us, but support and services or right. referrals. And now they're not coming to the food pantry. We even have stories of wonderful volunteers that started mm-hmm. as patrons of one of our member agencies or our own food pantries and are now volunteering mm-hmm. and giving back to the people that they that were like them.
And one of the ways you've been able to improve and enhance people's understanding about what we do is our Hungry for Change newsletter. Mm-hmm. I remember when you joined our organization 4 years ago and you looked at our newsletter, which was a good publication, you know, nothing, but nothing in your opinion as an expert in fundraising was popping out of those pages to let the community know how important their donations were to us. In fact, I remember having a conversation with you where you said something to the effect of, when you publish pictures in your newsletter of a corporation giving you a check, nobody really cares about that. And the corporation cares about it, and there are ways to recognize corporations as we've been doing. But you were the one who really focused in on, in my opinion, what was really important. And that was to tell the story. Mm-hmm. Let people, show people who get the newsletter who the people are that are taking advantage of our mm-hmm. services. And that's made a tremendous difference. And that has allowed you, moving forward, to retain a lot of donors. And I really do, you know, want to talk for a second, a minute, about how we've retained donors and what, you know, COVID, we saw so many new people coming to the organization to make donations. And some of those donations were kind of big, you know, six-figure donations. And here we are almost 2 years out of the pandemic. And what percentage of those donors are continuing to support Long Island Cares? And in your estimate, why?
Well, when I first came on board, we mm-hmm. were sitting about the national average across the nation in nonprofits. That average hovers somewhere in the 40 to 45% mm-hmm. range. It has dropped, actually, since the pandemic to around 42% nationwide. However, Long Island Cares is sitting at 61% donor retention. And I think the biggest factor in that is that storytelling, is that, yes, we still want companies to be recognized for those big checks or major donors being recognized for those major gifts. But the picture is literally a snapshot in time of a transaction between a donor and the nonprofit. We don't want to talk about transactional donations. Mm-hmm. We want to talk about transformational donations.
That's a great way to put it.
And that's really where our storytelling is strong. And that ability to tell the story is what's keeping our donors here. Mm-hmm. They are, you know, they're seeing, yes, they're seeing an opportunity to get a check presentation and have it in their local paper or their mm-hmm. local patch. But on top of that, we're telling them the story of how much food that purchased or how many supplies that purchased. And then where did it go? Mm-hmm. If it comes into the food bank, where does it go afterwards? You know, that's something that I've really focused on and my team has really focused on, in that transformational giving it's not just about the money. We purchase some food, it goes out. Mm-hmm. What happens in between and who does that affect? The volunteers that pack up the food, the corporations that provide volunteers to help do that. So not only are they supporting their company and saying, hey, our company made a big mm-hmm. gift, but now they're coming in and packing up the food that may have been purchased by their company. And then they're seeing our, you know, staff wrapping them up, picking the different orders, sending it out to our agencies. They're seeing the trucks on the road, and they're seeing those full stories, mm-hmm. that real full circle of what happens here at Long Island Cares. So I think that's the important piece of donor stewardship, mm-hmm. is building that relationship. And it's not just one time. So we get a gift, we thank them, they come in, they volunteer, we thank them again, they go back. The next touch point for us is not, hey, want to give us more money? Mm-hmm. It's another little bit of a story. So that's where the newsletters come in and the social media, and our my entire team of staff then sending out newspaper articles. When we get something in the newspaper, we'll send the link. We make sure it's on our website. Mm-hmm. We post it on our social media. Hey, did you see this News 12 advertisement or this News 12 story? Did you see, you know, this little story that came up? Mm-hmm. All of those things work together. You know, you and I have talked about this before, but I kind of call it that top of the funnel marketing. When mm-hmm. you want to put something in a little tiny bottle, you need a big funnel with a big wide top.
Right.
We need to cast our net really wide and make sure that everyone knows what we are doing, mm-hmm. because eventually that narrows down into those people that stay with us and keep giving mm-hmm. us donations.
And, you know, one of the ways you've accomplished this, and you've said it, you know, just now about the team, about the staff, I speak to my colleagues in other nonprofit organizations here on Long Island, and they ask me, how many people do you have in your fundraising department? Most nonprofits maybe have three, mm-hmm. maybe four if they're lucky. Since you came on 4 years ago, you've bankrupted the organization in many ways. We have 10 people working mostly full-time, maybe two part-timers, mm-hmm. Doing all different functions, and they all come together and result in the success. So talk a little bit about, because if there are other nonprofits listening to our program, we'll give you a little free advice. When you came and looked at the department and you had ideas, how did you go about deciding this is what we need in development and fundraising if we're going to be successful?
That's a really good question. And it really comes down to what are the sort of the goals of what we want to do and what's the most important things to accomplish first. When I first came on board, you know, it was clear that we, you know, really needed to focus on making sure my fundraisers understood that full circle messaging mm-hmm. we talked about, that it wasn't just make an ask, send them a receipt, make another ask, send them a receipt. You know, that was sort of that transactional donations that mm-hmm. were happening. We were losing people in there. So we wanted to make sure that, I wanted to make sure that the fundraisers that were here with us understood the whole concept of that full circle messaging and relationship building and stewarding with the donors, that it's a big circle. We keep going around the circle over and over again. Eventually, we're going to ask again, but all the things that come in between are the important pieces. So yes, we have a good sized team in development and communications, but for all those small shops out there, mm-hmm. we really have three forward-facing fundraisers whose mm-hmm. full-time job it is to just ask and ask and ask and steward and ask mm-hmm. and steward. The rest of my team is focused on all those other pieces, the storytelling, the media, the making sure that donors are being receipted as quickly as possible. That's mm-hmm. a big first component. When I first came on board, we had one person doing all of the receipting, mm-hmm. and it wasn't quite as important how quickly they went out, or was it quite as important what the messaging was? Now my team knows that those two people are the first faces that a donor might see or might get a communication mm-hmm. from. So that messaging is important, and it has to happen fast. In this day and age, we all want, you know, that instant gratification. Sure. You know, we buy something online and it can be delivered sometimes in the same day. Donors want the same thing. They want to know that their gift was received. They want to know how it was used. They want to know where it's going, and they want to know what comes from it. So that piece is a big piece. So those two people, while they're not fundraisers, mm-hmm. they're such an important piece of fundraising, marketing, and communication. Mm-hmm. So every member of my team has a stake in how right. successful we are in telling that messaging. And they all need to understand fundraising, and they all need to understand how to build relationships.
Well, it's really quite a team. It's a very cohesive team. To my colleagues out there in the nonprofits, I know that, you know, you're bringing on staff to deal with your social media and to post things about you, and you do have grant writers. But, you know, what you're saying about communicating with donors and stewarding new donors and cultivating new donors and then communicating with, you know, your donors that you already have, I've witnessed that personally in some of the phone calls that I've had with some of our donors, and it doesn't make a difference about, you know, how much they donated to us. My most recent phone call with a very generous donor was simply just to confirm. She wanted to confirm that we received the donation, mm-hmm. and she wanted to make sure that we had it so that we can support everything we're doing with the holiday season coming up. So it really, it pays off. It was the right thing to do, for sure. Uh-oh. Catherine, I'm sorry. You know that's not about you. That's just the time has gone by so quickly when you're having a good time. You have an invitation to sit in the studio any day of the week with me and talk about the wonderful work that you've been able to accomplish on our behalf. Not only you, but your entire team. They really are amazing. I want to thank Catherine Fritz, our Vice President for Development and Communications, for joining me again on Breaking Bread. I also want to tell you, those of you that are listening, if you like what you're hearing, then subscribe to our podcast. You can listen to Breaking Bread at Long Island Cares on Spotify, on Apple, on Anchor channels, right on your computer. And you can take us in the car if you have the app, and we'll just keep talking. But until next time, please take care of one another. And until we break bread again at Long Island Cares, this is Paul Pachter. Be welcome.